Blue Wire.
Young Gunner. Right elevates to three and hits.
Man, he looks good, doesn't he?
What's good, y'all? It's your boy, Ant Wright, your host of Michigan State of Mind. Big Saturday so far. We got the Big Ten schedule being released. That's a lot of fun. On top of that, we have, players starting to opt back in. That's for a lot of schools, not just at Michigan, I believe. Pontasook and Michigan State also chose to opt back in, so it looks like some of these guys are going to give it a go. The only concern that I have is that they're coming back for how long can they are they going to have the season? Very strict protocols for the Big Ten, and there's just a lot going on. Like, you have to have, if you test positive for COVID, it's pretty much a wrap for you. You have a 21 day pretty much suspension, I'll call it that. If that falls on like a certain day in a certain week, I mean, your season could very well be done after playing only like a few games. On top of that, you have, the team itself, if you go over 5%, you can't even play or practice. So say if it comes down on like a Friday, that news comes out that, 9% of the team has COVID, you can't play or practice for a full week. So not only do you cancel that Saturday, it's not a guarantee that you can put yourself in a position as a coach to also play that following weekend as well with no practice or anything like that, no meetings. That's pretty much how guys can get injured. Sorry, I got my son here with me, and he can't stop sharing his opinion as well. But yeah, the COVID protocols that they've put in place are very, very strict. These teams have to be they have to be on their P's and Q's. They can't mess around with this. One person, literally one person at one school, can derail this entire season. Say if this one person goes out to a party. And it doesn't even have to be like the starting QB. It could be like a trainer, or like it could be like a student manager. Like, they can go to a party one day, like, oh, it's just my friends there. Next thing you know, they have COVID. They bring it back to the team. Now there's a breakout. Not only does that team not play, but also the team that they're going to play not play. And there's no wiggle room either because of how the season is structured. There's no bye weeks. So you can't just move games around. You can't postpone games until later. That's why the Big Ten dropped a huge ball on this. If they had given us an 8 or 9 game schedule and they had a couple of bye weeks in between, you can move games around. You can change opponents. You can maybe play against one non-conference team, maybe. Or like, say if Virginia Tech couldn't play Virginia because Virginia had a bunch of positives, who's to say in like that coming week, Illinois can play Virginia Tech, and things can just be shifted around just like that. And it's gonna be, logistically, it's not bad because there's no fans anyway. You know what I mean? So you don't have to worry about people canceling their hotels. You don't have to worry about people doing this and that. I just think it's I just think the Big Ten has done a disservice big time. They should have stuck with September 26th as the start date. I believe so. I have to go and check. I don't have notes in front of me. But I believe the start date was like September 26th. Postpone it till then, and then figure it out. But to do all that, postpone the season until end of October, and then give like an impossible task of not only no bye weeks to move games around, but hey, we're going to give you like the most strict protocols. And if someone F's up, like that could derail everybody. And honestly, like, that's not fair, man. That's not fair. It sucks. It sucks as a student athlete, and it sucks as a coach, because you almost have to, like, babysit your team. And there's no growth in that. You want your team to be responsible, hold each other accountable. But as a coach, if you're successful this season, that shows that you're not only a decent coach, but you also have a team that respects you, respects what you have to say, and will play by your rules. And that just shows your type of leadership. So I'm about to hop in the locker room here. Let's get some guys in there. I hope you guys have stuff to say, questions to ask, anything like that. We'll see who joins and talks with me. It's really a dope app. It's super cool. If you're on my Twitter, I'm always posting the link to it, but it's a great app. It's honestly, I think it's the next best thing in terms of sports and communication, but we'll see you in there. Yo. Oh, okay. You already got six people in here. I like it. I like it a lot. Drake, man. It's crazy, right? Always shoot cakewalk. I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, they're Ohio State. And, we're not going to be pleased unless they have they're going to have a mix of, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin. Like, that's the only true crossover games for them where they have to think twice about the game. You know what I mean? But, they played Nebraska, and who else do they got? Illinois. So Brandon Peters is going to have to be magical just to keep that game within a couple of touchdowns. You know what I mean? But it's real interesting, man. It's real interesting. Are you going to yell this whole time? Okay. Can you stop yelling at me then? Yo, my kid is a beast. I'm not even this isn't even like me as a parent. Like, this is just me as an observer. Like, this dude is a Hulk. This dude is crazy. Crazy. Man, oh man. So I'm not going to keep you guys long, man. We're going to go like 20, 25 minutes tops. I said that last time, but we kind of got dove into other topics. So we're going to keep this super short, 20 minutes tops. We're just going to dive into both schedules for Michigan and Michigan State, and kind of what we see here. And we're going to go, through each game, and we're going to count the wins and losses. So let's start with Michigan State first, man. Michigan State, they have Mel Tucker coming in for this is his first year, second year as a head coach, I believe. That opening game against Rutgers, Greg Schiano's a good coach. A lot of people, I'm seeing a lot of Michigan State fans are kind of like dismissing their schedule. Their schedule is still not the easiest. You have a Northwestern team that Michigan State has struggled against. And then you have an Iowa team that's always tough. That's always going to give you
anywhere between, you know, eight or nine wins pretty much consistently. So their crossover games aren't the best. I know Northwestern struggled a bit last year, but the Michigan State Northwestern games have always been super, super tough. If you're just joining, that's my son in the background losing his mind. So if you look at their schedule, people are like, yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, it's pretty tough, in my opinion. Rutgers, you have Greg Schiano, proven coach at Rutgers, is back. He's no slouch at all. He's going to have them ready for sure. And then you got back-to-back games against Michigan and Iowa. That's going to be tough. I'm not going to be surprised if they go 0-3 there, 1-2 at best. Then you have Indiana. Like, these games being home and away really don't mean anything because there's no fans. No fans are going to be there to really influence anything. So Rutgers playing at East Lansing, the crowd is not going to have their – hold on. Come on, man. Please, here, take this. Thank you. So the crowd is not going to have any type of influence on the game. The only thing that will influence the game is, you know, the hotel stay prior and the prep. That's really the only difference. But what's nice about these schedules is the better team should win the game, especially if there's no type of home advantage. Then they have – oh, Howard wants to come in. Okay, dope. What's up, Howard?
What's good, Ant?
What's good?
So, how do you think they're gonna do the stadium noise?
I just think it's gonna be just a bunch of audio blast-ins. I really hope it's no crowd noise. I just hope it's music. And I'm wondering what they're gonna do with the band. If they're gonna have the band kind of dispersed throughout the stadium, I think that would make the atmosphere just exponentially better with no band. Like, it doesn't really feel like a football game. It feels like you're just watching two teams practice. You know what I mean?
Right.
The band makes everything.
I wonder, and then my other thing is, like, with the band, is the band going to, like, switch sides with the team? You know? That would be very interesting.
Oh, true. I don't think so. I think it'll be just the one band playing, and they may play the other team's fight song to be, what's the word? Have like sports or bandsmanship. I don't know if that's right. The word. But that could be a thing. That could be a thing for sure.
That'll be interesting to see, because I don't know if you heard Jeff Darlington on here, but he was on here talking about how they're doing the noise in the NFL, and he was saying they're just like, what you hear on the TV is like way better than what you hear in the stadium. In the stadium, they're just kind of randomly spraying noise and it sounds terrible.
Gotcha.
So gotcha. I'm curious, but
honestly, it's going to be for the TV viewer though, you know,
it's for the TV viewer, but it does affect on-field play, you know, gotcha. Either way, I got Michigan State winning against Michigan regardless. Where are they playing this year?
What is wrong with you?
I just know what's good.
And, stop being a homer.
Where's the game happening?
It's at Michigan.
Are there what do you think colleges are going to do in terms of like tailgating? Like, are there going to be events? Because I was going to say maybe I should come back to Michigan and give you hell for the weekend, but I'm not really sure.
I don't think they're going to have anything. I'm not sure. I'm going to put out a tweet, just some feelers, just to see what people are saying. Like, hey, do you guys plan on tailgating? Are you going to host something?
Right.
What is
let
wrong?
Me
relax.
Let me know what you hear, and I'd like to pull up. And sorry about
I got you. Nah, right, man. Never sorry.
Never sorry.
Hey, he's not crying. He's in a good mood. You know, I'll take it. But the content just can't stop. You know what I mean? So they've got what? They've got Rutgers. They've got at Michigan, at Iowa. Indiana's going to be tough. Maryland's going to be better. Man. Greg, what's up, man?
What is good, Ant? Hey, a couple of things that I think I was just thinking about when you were talking with Howard that is really important to think about. This is sort of a twofold thing. The first, which is less important, is everybody has a home radio broadcast. Now, in Major League Baseball this year, they did not let any of the road broadcasters travel. They're all doing games from their home ballparks or in a studio, watching on monitors. In the NFL, they're not letting broadcasters go with a traveling party. So, for example, last week, the Chicago Bears drove to Ford Field because it was only 5 hours, but they're not going to be going to any games where you'd have to potentially fly. So I'm curious as to whether or not you're going to have full broadcast crews in the stadiums or whether the road broadcasters are going to be in the home stadiums watching on the monitor. And the second thing that I think is really important to talk about is this Champions Week, because I feel like how the schedule ends up playing out is going to determine who faces each other. Like, do you have any sense as to how they're going to schedule this Champions Week? Is it going to be results-based or just whoever they pick that you haven't actually played yet this year?
Good question. So there, it's going to be like a crossover, you know, one plays one, two plays two, three plays three. They've also said they're not going to do repeat games. So what that tells me is that either Michigan, so like in like Michigan's case, I believe that they're probably going to play either Wisconsin in the championship if they do well, or they're going to play Iowa. That's what I'm seeing, because they're not going to play Wisconsin or Minnesota. No, they're not going to play Minnesota again. And if Wisconsin falls to second or third, they're not going to play Wisconsin again. So I see them playing either whoever in the championship, or they're going to play Iowa, in my opinion.
See, here's the interesting thing about this is that, look, I went to Northwestern for everybody that's in this room. I know a couple of people have seen that I've been in here before. There's something about the Big Ten West, at least the last couple of years, to where I'm not confident in any consistency. Illinois has gotten better. Minnesota under PJ Fleck is a much better program than they were over the past 3 years. Purdue has shown that they can be a formidable offense. I don't know how the West is going to shake out, but for me, it's still Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State in some order in the Big Ten East. Now, you did bring up Schiano. It's going to take a while for that program to get built back up to where it was under first-time Schiano. So I think with really no, you know, with a short training camp, we're going to see a lot of abnormal results in the first couple weeks of the year. So I just – making predictions on this is going to be difficult because I don't necessarily know how good each of these teams actually is, especially in the Big Ten West, where I don't think there's a ton of disparity between the top and the bottom.
I'm with you there. And then there's a lot of new faces – on the East with, you know, Rutgers and Michigan State. And on top of that, we don't know how they're practicing. We don't know who shut down all the way. We don't know who was still in pads up until now. You know, who was preparing what for as well too. So, you know, there are still a lot of factors. I truly believe Michigan should beat Minnesota, but at the same time, Minnesota is riding this wave of confidence where they really don't have much doubt. You know, they went, what, 10-3 last year, beating Auburn, one game away from a Big Ten title game. You know, their non-conference wasn't great. But they did beat who they needed to beat throughout the year to end up with one of their best seasons in a long, long time.
So one last point, Ant, and then I will open it up for somebody else to pop in. And I don't think, and granted, because they're starting so late, this wasn't built in, but a lot of the conferences that are playing right now, they have built in these bye weeks in case there was a COVID postponement. We saw that Virginia Tech got COVID postponed the first week of the year. We saw that Baylor-Houston today got COVID postponed. If you're going to have integrity in this schedule and be able to make an argument for the Big Ten being in the college football playoff, I'm looking at this schedule right now. There are no bye weeks for anybody. So unless you use, you know, the day, you know, 2 days after Christmas as the week where you're going to make everything up, I don't see how you get this full schedule completed if there is a COVID cancellation. And look, we already know that Rutgers and Michigan State, I'm thinking Maryland too, maybe I'm wrong. You know, those three schools have already had significant COVID outbreaks. So if you have to suspend or postpone a game, I don't see any scenario where you can make it up. Thanks for letting me speak, Ant. I'll take, as they say on the radio, I'll take your questions off the air.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, man. I touched on that before, and it's just one of those things where the Big Ten dropped the ball. They dropped the ball big time, and there's no other way around it. The fact that they wanted to, you know, let this linger on, they should have just postponed it maybe like 3 to 4 weeks. Now you get like a, you know, probably like a 9 or 10 game season is one. Two, you get 1 or 2 bye weeks. So if it comes up where you have to, where, you know, you have to, you know, schedule a different game, maybe even mix and match a game with either a different conference or someone else within the conference, then that could be done. But they gave themselves zero wiggle room. So the chances of failure have gone up exponentially, all because of your lack of prep and all because you were given a deadline, you were given a timeline saying that, hey, you have to get X amount of games done before this day to be considered for the CFP. You know, they've totally done these teams a disservice. I'm not saying that they made the wrong decision, but they went about it the wrong way. Why cancel outright when you could have just postponed maybe a couple weeks, 3-4 weeks, and then you're pretty much good to go? Does anybody want to...
Hey, Ant. Yeah, I see what you're saying in regards to the scheduling. I see what you're saying. At the same time, I kind of have a different take on that, Ant. Not kind of a little bit different. I don't disagree with you. What I think the postponement does for the Big Ten is it does help them in a way because they're able to wait and watch and see how these other conferences are handling testing, handling other things as well. And that way, basically you're able to watch them and be able to, be able to learn from whatever mistakes and implement whatever things that are working for them. So that is one advantage that they have by starting in October. And also they have the advanced testing that they're gonna put in place on September the 30th and all that. So I think it's an advantage in a way, but also at the same time, as you said, everybody has to stay in line. Everybody, because you have one outbreak, that's one less game. That's one, possibly two less games you're playing this year. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on. But I like I said, I really believe that the advantage is they can really watch and see how these other leagues handle stuff.
Makes sense. But I mean, you have to think about it from, like, you postpone until September 26th. You have, you know, 3 weeks. You have 3-4 weeks there, because games started, what, end of August? So, you know, you have about a month to really figure it out, saying, okay, what works, what hasn't been working. I just think that you have people making a lot of freaking money who dropped the ball on this. You know, they're not able to just sit back, make their appearance, make decisions based on committee, and everything is, you know, status quo. But shit hit the fan. And a lot of dudes out here are tripping. And yeah. I don't think a lot of people got exposed, you know?
Yeah.
And that starts from the very, very top. You know, you have a dude like Kevin Warren. This was his, what? This is his first year, right?
Yeah.
This is his first year. To jump the gun like that was very, very risky. Just assuming that other conferences would just, you know, just follow. Like, that just does not make sense.
Absolutely.
Andrew Jones. Andrew wants to pop in here. Give me one sec. Andrew, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing this Saturday?
Hey, man. Doing all right. Doing all right. I love the
– Definitely. Don with the real hoodie right there. He's repping the Wolverine colors all the way, all the way. Yeah. I mean, I can't even blame Kevin Warren at all about this, because I just feel that we have put the burden on, well, supposedly student-athletes, which, you know, realistically – they aren't. And I think that they put really a lot of these athletes in peril, and I call it unpaid football for a reason, because, I mean, Justin Fields, if he didn't want to play, he said he could have just said, you know, I'm going to the NFL draft now and not want to play. Rashad, you know, Bateman, same way too. Now he's opting in. And I think that, you know, for this season, if these players have long-term effects from any COVID-19, or if they, you know, are just regular young men that decide they want to just go out the bubble and or do whatever they want to do, whatever, that, you know, it shouldn't be placed on them if they get sick, that it's their own fault and their own thing. I think that Big Ten and Pac-12, they probably said to themselves, especially the Big Ten, if it gets cold out here, and when it gets cold in late October, November, that we have to proceed with caution. And I think that I just think that it's kind of gross, honestly, where, you know, they've decided this right back. And yes, people want to see NCAA football, apparently, or throughout, or these players want to play, or at least a majority of them want to play. But I think that, especially since they're not professionally paid yet, with all the billions coming in, that it's really odd. Like, this whole like reversal that was inevitable with how the players from Justin Fields on down really wanted to play. But it's something that for me has always left me just feeling just that if I was a player back then, I would just be sitting out and honestly would be boycotting the system.
Hey, strong stuff, man. I feel you. And it comes down to, you know, the main argument, the main argument against that is, this is from what people like I pay attention to as many arguments and discussions as possible. It comes down to, if there's no hospitalizations and these kids are supposed to do what they're supposed to do, then they should be fine. And then with reports coming out with the myocarditis with the heart and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But then you have a doctor and his report comes out and his study, and he's saying that like 30 to 35%, but then you have thousands of athletes who have, you know, had the virus, but they don't end up getting that myocarditis. It's almost like okay, if it happens in 30 to 35%, how is there nothing there if thousands have already got it and received it? Mm-hmm. So there are, so these, the fact that these reports are so, they're so opposite of each other, people are very skeptical. I am just speaking from what I'm hearing and seeing. People are very skeptical of what's coming out. And then with the next report that comes out, they're going to be skeptical again because they feel like, okay, what's going to happen in a week or two when it comes out that, you know, this actually wasn't true, or the test that they did was a different type of population. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's why I think just the lack of true concrete, everyone has the same testing or the same testing available. And this is with the Power Five conferences, you know, where that inequity seems like to be the case. And what happened with Penn State and their players having this outbreak. I think it's just really concerning, honestly, where, you know, yes, the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 decided their decision, but we've already seen with Houston and Baylor canceling their game today that the parameters are just, to me, not clear enough overall that for these players who aren't professionally paid, that I think that this is a thing that's there. I can't even fault, like, the Big Ten commissioner necessarily about this, because he says, well, if the players want to play and if these other conferences are playing, and in terms of the three of the other Power Five conferences, then I might as well just have to do this and, you know, recoup this money. And, you know, and hey, this is something that I should do. So, I mean, I thought the initial decision was wise from him and Larry Scott and Pac-12. But I just think that in this scenario, when I think it's just the overall just issue fundamentally with the system here.
Got you. Now, I am always a fan of erring on the side of caution. So I'm with you there 100%. Courtney, thanks for joining us in. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah. I've been listening to like the different sides, and I think there's a big point here, right, to what you're saying. There's so many conflicting reports, so many different sides to all of this, and therefore that's led to a lot of differing opinions on how to move forward, right? But I think the fact that there are so many differing opinions, I think is just further evidence that people just don't know yet. There's not enough research to have concrete facts of how we fight this. What are the long-term risks? Like, there's just not enough information. So I think with that in mind, I think it's easier to say, are we willing to potentially risk people's health long-term? And some of these guys, some of these athletes, they say yes, right? And I don't know if that's just a personal opinion that everyone has to go forward with, but it's a hard call to make of, you know, what if we came out and said, okay, well, the long-term effects are for 80% of these guys that we see in a year and a half, they're having enlarged hearts for the next 10 years of their life. Would all of them say that? I don't know. But I think the point is that we just don't know, right? You don't know, we don't know. And there's just too many conflicting reports to, I think, make or force anyone to be competing or anything like that. And which leads me to the next part that I think I haven't seen talked about much at all. I've seen it one place. And I find it interesting that it hasn't been talked about, in the sense that in order to be able to play some of these sports, even at the professional level and the collegiate level, the amount of testing that's required to have these games and have these tournaments is astronomical, the actual numbers of how much they're testing. And I have seen reports that this is leading to shortages for the rest of the population. Like, is it worth it to be having these sports? And that's a conversation I haven't seen discussed a whole lot.
That's huge. That's huge. And honestly, Courtney, it's almost like that's been in the back of a lot of people's minds, but it hasn't been something that they latch onto. and you just hit the nail on the head. I'm going to float that on Twitter and kind of, you know, see what the responses are. Because I'm sure people will once again have very differing opinions there. But, you know, this is one of those cases where, you know, we don't know a lot and almost have to adjust as time goes. But what we don't need is a situation like, you know, this is very, very different. But remember on 9/11 when the Twin Towers fell and debris everywhere, and we had people jumping in there, helping out, just being awesome Americans, loving each other and all this. And then several years later, a good portion of those people who like helped out have like lung issues, trouble breathing, and a lot of them passed away. I'm not saying that they wouldn't jump in again to help out, but that's a similar situation into they didn't understand that running in there would have had a lasting effect. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, so I wanted to pop back in for a moment because Courtney brought up a great point in regards to rapid testing. Now, for those of you that are in here, I am a furloughed Pac-12 employee, and there's a bit of a difference between how the Pac-12 and the Big Ten has taken this approach to testing. The Pac-12, a couple of weeks ago, signed a partnership with a company called Quidel. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And Quidel is a company that is going to allow for campuses to have rapid testing machines installed in their athletic departments. So this corporation has partnered with the Pac-12 to make sure that any athlete from any sport can have a rapid test daily. That is the partnership that they signed with all 12 member schools, which is why, and really the only reason why, the Pac-12 is considering going back to school. This is going to allow not just for football players, but for volleyball players, soccer players, other non-revenue sport athletes to resume competition. Now, I was listening to an interview with Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach at Northwestern, a couple of days ago, and it seems like the Big Ten has only promised daily testing for the football players. So to me, I'm looking at this beyond the scope of football and how the Big Ten is not going to avoid blowback for not allowing testing for the rest of their fall sport athletes and for the rest of their winter sport athletes that are trying to get their workouts done in the next coming weeks and get workouts ramped up because basketball is going to start at the end of November. So I'm looking at the way the Pac-12 approached this. And, you know, you talked about earlier, I think it was when you had Don on, that the Big Ten, you know, people making a lot of money have really fumbled this. And I think that the health aspect of it is huge. The fact that you're not making daily testing available for any athlete, not only that, in regards to students that are on campus paying tuition, it just sets a really bad precedent. It, to me, it's a little bit tone deaf. So I wanted to just, and I'll pop out of the room now, I wanted to bring into that aspect what the Pac-12 is doing, just to compare it to what the Big Ten is doing, and just a contrasting style of approach. So I'm not sure that the Big Ten even set the testing program up right, at least in terms of how it is perceived.
Ethan, what's up, man? Oh, guess not. Did you want to talk? What's up, E?
What up? My bad. Not sure what just happened. I just wanted to pop in response to that because I almost think that I think I'm with Greg on one level, but I also just think, look, it's not really that surprising, you know? I mean, sadly, it's not surprising. I think that I'm from Texas, and I know at least in the case of the University of Texas, and I'm sure it's similar at many of these Big Ten schools, the football program is the moneymaker. And at the end of the day, however myopic it might be, and for all of the very justified holes that we can and should poke in the testing plans, et cetera, I mean, the football team was always, the football program was always going to get daily testing because the football program is the golden goose. That's the moneymaker. That's why football was, you know, I was always optimistic that they'd bring football back in the Big Ten in the fall or the winter. And it's also sadly why I'm not surprised that there's no guaranteed testing at this point for other fall or winter sports, because frankly, the football games are the ones that are on ESPN. You know, they're the ones that are featured prominently on the Big Ten network. They get the big advertising dollars. Those are the programs that bring in the biggest boosters and the most national visibility for the institution. So I think while I'm with Greg that probably they have fumbled this and it probably is short-sighted, and the fact that only the football program gets the guaranteed testing probably lays bare and makes kind of all too clear just what the institution's priorities are, that, I mean, I'm still sadly just not surprised that that's the case, given the state of college athletics and what football programs represent to these universities.
Yeah, man. Couldn't have said it better. Money drives the school. And so, you know, so the football team is going to get catered to in that regard. And it looks like the Pac-12 has at least, I know they're looking at a start date in like November, but at least they are taking into account all of their winter sports and not just all of their fall sports and not just the one that brings you money, because those are other, you know, men and women on other teams who work just as hard as those football guys and those basketball guys. But yeah, I'm with you, man. Ethan, Courtney, Greg, Don, Andrew, thank you all for hopping in. I appreciate that. I want to be more interactive like that in my other locker room sessions. And I said I wasn't going to keep you guys long, so I'm not. But, you know, we started out talking about the Big Ten schedule, and then we started, you know, wandering off to something else. But, you know, that's how discussions kind of go. But overall, what I'm going to look at is the Michigan schedule right quick. At Minnesota, Michigan State, Indiana, Wisconsin, at Rutgers, Penn State, Maryland, at Ohio State. You know, not going to be surprised if Michigan goes 6-2, which is about on par for them, unless Joe Milton comes out and has a Cam Newton type of year and changes Michigan football forever. Then you have MSU, you have Rutgers at Michigan, at Iowa, Indiana, at Maryland. I really believe that they're going to start the year 0-4. I think Rutgers is going to come in and win that game. I have them going 2-6. I do think that they pick up one. I think that they beat Maryland, and I think they have a shot at beating Northwestern before finishing off the year with Ohio State and Penn State. Either way, great conversation. I appreciate it. I learned a lot. I said Michigan State starts 0-4. I just think Rutgers pulls it off with Shiano for their first, you know, Big Ten win in a long time. Then I think they're going to lose to Michigan, Iowa, and then Indiana. Then they have two toss-ups against Maryland and Northwestern, but I see them going 2-6. They'll win two of the three with Maryland, Northwestern, and Rutgers. But it's going to be tough getting by Michigan, Iowa, Indiana, Ohio State, Penn State. You're looking at five teams there who have coaches who have done decent and have been consistent so far. But thank you guys for listening in. I appreciate it. Until next time, pretty much.